hearing yesterday involved those schools and three others, the Army War College, Marine Corps, and the Navy's. But our studies also, we're going to look at some of the issues involving our military academies also. But I want to say, first of all, we're really not approaching this like, is professional military education worth the cost? It is worth the cost, and we know it's worth the cost. It's a very, very important investment in our personnel and in our national security. The issue is it time to look at this in a way that need to make sure we have the organization and the kind of structure and the kind of education that helps us in the world we're in now? The last time this was really looked at in a formal way was about 20 years ago, right up 20 years ago when Ike Skelton was the chairman of a panel on the Armed Services Committee that really helped devise a lot of what we have now in professional military education. It's a different world now, and the question is, are we doing the kinds of things that we need to do? We have some remarkable, remarkable men and women in these schools, both at the faculty and as students. And I also want to say, and probably not as well known by some of your listeners, we have a lot of non-military personnel that both teach and are students. And in fact, like at the National War College, they really pride themselves and fight to be in a seminar that has like the State Department personnel person also there as a student, because it really helps in this what we call this interagency, the exchange of information and ideas and approaches between both our military and our non-military folks. So there's a lot of remarkable things going on, and we're just looking at what have we learned in the last 20 years that might point to doing things differently? And we may conclude that there's not anything dramatically different that we need to do. Some may disagree.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Was there some particular incident or some particular trend that gave rise to having this hearing in the first place? I mean, what caused you to look at this?
Yeah, let me say, first of all, Tom, it was not just a hearing. We were actually doing six or 8 month study. And this is our second formal hearing. But we have had numerous staff briefs and, more staff meets with people. We've had staff trips. We've had member trips to different schools. And this is an ongoing study that we hope to have the results out of our study by the end of the year, although we're not going to hold ourselves to someday. We want it to be right to look at all this. There was no any such incident. There's no such scandal or anything like that. In fact, I think, it's just remarkable people with these schools. The question is, part of congressional oversight is to look at things in the spirit of, how are we doing? Where do we need to go from here? Our national security approach has dramatically changed since, 1988-89, when a lot of these systems were changed. President Obama's speech yesterday, he called it a new beginning. I mean, we have had a number of new beginnings in how we approach national security and foreign policy over the last 8 years, not all of them good. I'm optimistic that we're getting back on track on some things, but it's clearly a time to revisit, these schools. Are we doing everything we need to do? There's variability amongst the services. Sometimes we get the impression some services may value certain aspects of it more than others. And, there's just those kinds of issues that we're looking at, and we will come out with our study. And you and I and Miss Linda, if she's there, if she's your guest a few months now, may want to revisit this after we get our study report done.
We're talking with Congressman Vic Snyder, Democrat of Arkansas.
Chairman Snyder, you mentioned conclusions that might be coming out. Is there any timing for that?
I hope we have it by the end of the year, and maybe even sooner than that. In fact, I'll be disappointed if we don't have it out by the end of the year. I hope we'd have it by whenever we adjourn, but we'll just have to see. There's a lot of detail to it. There's a lot of schools. When we do a study like this, we recognize we're not doing, we may have some things that we just say we did not answer these questions, even though they may be worth looking at. So we'll just see what direction our study takes us. But I would hope by November, December, we'll have our final done.
Now, at yesterday's hearing, you had some pretty high-level witnesses, the commandant of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. You had also the similar position at the National War College. You had the president of the Naval War College and the Air War College. What are some of the things they said? What stood out to you from the testimony of those folks?
I think there's a couple other colleges that were also. In fact, it's the first time they have formally testified as a group, I think, in decades, if not ever. They are very high on what they are doing, and I applaud them for that. And they feel that they are doing a very, very fine job. And when I say they're not bragging on themselves. They're bragging on their faculty and their students. They feel like they really have a quality educational experience. You know, 25, 30 years ago, you know, there was a thought that, well, you go to one of these schools with a chance for you to get a lot of free time. I mean, they literally talk about work on your golf game, spend time with your family. That is not the environment now. They are very rigorous academically. And in fact, what the students talk about, they don't get nearly the time with their family that they would like to have, because it's a very rigorous academic environment. I met with a group of students yesterday afternoon for the Naval War College. Now, they're just finishing up their year, and their graduation, I think, is in the next few days. And you talk about a top-notch bunch of people. I mean, these are men and women, one from the State Department, two from foreign militaries. I met with three from our military and one Department of Defense civilian. They are so high in the school, but they are so optimistic now about what that training for the last year means as they look ahead to their career in terms of what they have to offer to our country. And you sense that kind of enthusiasm when you talk to the, like at our hearing yesterday, but also from the students. It doesn't mean, though, that we shouldn't be asking questions about, are there things we could do differently? For example, we met with a group of had a hearing a couple weeks ago with a group of think tankers on the topic, and they were more critical of what's going on. One of the things they said is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I think in their words, needs to take more ownership of these schools. Now, what does that mean? If we value them as the crown jewels of professional military education, I think we do. Some of these critics are saying then the chairman needs to make sure they get everything they need, that they're being as responsive as they can be to the needs of the combatant commanders, you know, those kinds of things. Well, I'm not sure exactly what that means, take more ownership in terms of details, but we're going to flesh all those kinds of questions out as these next weeks and months go by. We're going to have other hearings on this topic too.
Well, it sounds like you've got to catch a plane for the weekend back home to Arkansas.
I am currently in the northern Kentucky, which they call the Cincinnati, Ohio airport, and I'm heading to Little Rock. But I appreciate your time.
We'll have a safe flight.
Appreciate your interest in the topic.
And we thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Yeah, bye-bye.